Warning. This article contains information about, and refers to, the sexual abuse of children. Three priests who once served with the Jesuits in the Midland area along with another who worked at an Orillia boys' school are among 27 priests identified by the church as credibly accused of sexual abuse of minors. With the help of an outside party, the Jesuits of Canada spent the past 3 years investigating sexual abuse allegations of its own members and former members. It released the findings Monday. All, but three of those identified in the report's findings released Monday, are dead. We are publishing this list partly at the request of victims and victim advocacy groups to help promote healing, to recognize the magnitude of their trauma and suffering, to acknowledge their experience, and to promote justice and transparency, said Father Eric Olland, head of the Jesuits of Canada. The list includes the names of Jesuits from 1950 to the present who have been credibly accused of abuse of minors. It follows a thorough review of Jesuit records. In addition to the archival records, investigations of historic allegations were undertaken by the third-party consultants, the King International Group. While the list includes the names and locations the priests served, it does not specify when they served there. Facing a single allegation is Wilfred Harris, who served at the Martyr's Shrine along with three other postings. Harris was born in 1908, ordained in 1945, and passed away in 1991. Those facing multiple allegations include Lawrence Brennan, born in 1927, deceased in 2015, who was ordained in 1960 and served at the Martyr's Shrine as well as four other locations. Frederick Costello, born in 1911, deceased in 1965, who was ordained in 1941 and served at St. John's Church in Wabaushin along with five other locations. Robert McDougall, born in 1924, deceased in 2004, who was ordained in 1961. McDougall served at John Bosco Residence for Boys in Orillia along with 10 other locations including 100 Huntley Street in Toronto and the Food for Life television ministry. There were no allegations involving Jesuits, who served locally in French, listed in the report. Olland said they have developed comprehensive procedures for receiving and investigating allegations of sexual abuse of minors. Additionally, we have established guidelines for reconciliation, healing, accountability, and prevention of future acts of abuse, as well as prevention of sexual harassment, Olland said. The audit was undertaken with the assistance of independent investigator Brian King of King International Advisory Group beginning in early 2020. And going forward, Olland said every candidate who applies to the Society of Jesus undergoes a psychological evaluation to ensure they have the necessary foundations for healthy living as a Jesuit. In addition, all Jesuits participate in annual training on abuse prevention and living a healthy celibate life, Olland said. The Jesuits of Canada enforce a zero-tolerance policy with regards to abuse. Olland also noted that his organization encourages any person who has suffered abuse by a Jesuit to notify the appropriate law enforcement or child protection agency in the location in which the incident took place. Potential victims are further encouraged to contact Mr. William Blakeney, the province's delegate for allegations of misconduct. He can be reached confidentially via email at wblakeney@jesuits.org, or in writing to the Jesuits of Canada, 25 Jerry Street W, Montreal, QCH2P1S6. Over the past three or more decades, revelations of grievous abuse by clergy dating back many generations have come to light, and the church has been slow to respond, Olland said. Moving through phases of outright denial, victim blaming, and moral incompetence, the church has begun to respond justly. All of this has undermined the credibility of an institution that, according to its own raison d'etre, should have been a witness to all that contributes to the promotion of the moral dignity of each human person, rather than their humiliation. As we have met with survivors, listened to their stories, and read the reports of their experiences, we have felt shame and become convinced that the only path forward is one of truth-telling, healing, and reconciliation.